This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. An ethical hacker is a computer and networking expert who systematically attempts to penetrate a computer system or network on behalf of its owners for the purpose of finding security vulnerabilities that a malicious hacker could potentially exploit. It sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Well, here with me today is CF Fong. He's the founder and also the executive director of LGMS. It's a penetration testing specialist in Malaysia. And we're going to talk about white hats, the dangers of web and mobile, and how you can stay safe. Fong, let's first talk about the current climate in the digital world. What are some of the threats that you're sort of, you know, witnessing recently that, you know, has been around in space, because everything is sort of digital today?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. I think you have given the most fancy introduction about ethical hacker I have ever heard. Well, I think the latest trend right now is we used to see a lot of attacks coming from outside of the organizations, outside of something. So, and we have been taught since young that the bad guys are out there. But the paradigm has shifted. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of bad guys are actually from within. So I think one of the biggest threats today is insider threats.
Wow.
I mean, the attackers will actually attack from within instead of outside.
So when you say attack from within, it does this mean that, you know, people within the company are, you know, sort of leaking out information or accidentally not knowing that they're being, you know, attacked, or they're
both?
Being,
I would say both. If you may notice that nowadays, I mean, for the last few years, have you ever received any spam mails that ask you to click on something?
I think just 5 minutes ago.
With the attachments and all that, right? So these are some of the ways hackers nowadays use to trick insiders, trick people who work within organizations to get infected with malicious software, malware. And from there, then they can connect into the organizations, bypassing all the parameters, controls, the firewalls, IPS, and all that. So that's how the trend is right now.
And how busy are you? Like, you know, is it completely sleepless nights at the moment? Is this such like a cybersecurity is really such a big thing that
it is? It is. Compared a few years ago, nowadays we receive more calls than before. Mm. I mean, some of the things that we do is to assist our client to mitigate risk and also recover from the impact of attacks. So we do get a lot more calls compared to a few years back. Again, a lot of these attacks are not really done by human. You'll be surprised. A lot of these attacks are actually done by bots, robots, software, automated software, and so on. So things are getting more and more busy.
And these malwares, these bots, they are owned by a certain individual.
Definitely.
And it's very hard to actually sort of, you know, identify where this individual is from when it comes from the web, because, you know, you can basically lie anything.
Exactly. Right.
So why is it important then to have these white hackers or ethical hackers?
Well, ethical hackers is just like your healthcare consultants. Basically, what we do, when we talk about hacking, right, what we do is actually we perform a vulnerability assessment on your systems, on your network, and from there, it's like doing a health check. You know, we tell you how healthy you are, what are the system loopholes that you're having, and what are the ways hackers can break into your systems. And from there, we also provide recommendations to help assist our clients, to tell them, look, these are the loopholes, and these are the ways for you to fix the loopholes.
And what makes a white hacker or any hacker a white hacker or even a black hacker?
Well, the difference, I think before we talk about the white and black, I think one of the ways that we always wanted to differentiate between the good hackers and bad hackers is that there is a term called crackers. It's a formal term to define a bad guy, people with bad intention, a cracker. So hackers basically referring to people enthusiastic into technologies and like tear things apart and learn from it. So back to the question, white hat and black hat. Basically, white hat are people like us. We are the good guys. We actually know exactly what the bad guys are using, what they know and all that. Just that the way how we work, the ultimate outcome is totally different. The ultimate intention is totally different. So what we are doing is actually to assist our client to identify loopholes. Instead of exploiting loopholes, taking advantage of loopholes, our job is to is to report the loopholes, and from there help our client to mitigate the risk.
Has there been any stories globally around the world of, you know, these white hackers, you know, suddenly turning against their clients or against other people because, you know, they're hackers at the end of the day?
Sometimes it's the thin lines between black and white. That's why I think sometimes it's very hard to define whether someone is good or someone is bad. That's why it's very hard to.
And building that rapport and starting LGMS must have been difficult then.
It is. It is. I think for us, one of the most valuable assets that we have is trust. Mm. It's not easy to build. It takes years, and there's a lot of commitment involved.
All right. Yeah. I'm speaking to C.F. Fong. He's the founder and executive director of LGMS. It's an ethical hacking firm here in Malaysia. And we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Best for money. BFM 89.9.
I'm speaking to C.F. Fong. He's the founder and executive director of LGMS. And this is Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu. And we're talking about white hackers, black hackers. And, early on, we were differentiating the two of them. But it's a very... very thin line. At the moment. So, anyways, let's talk about LGMS. You talked about the current, the biggest thing that you have is the trust that you have with your clients.
Exactly.
At the moment. How did it start? What year was this? And how different was the situation back then?
Well, we have started. I mean, I have been in the industry for the last 20 years, but we have formally started the company 11 years ago. 12 years ago. So when we first started, it's not easy, because when you proclaim yourself as ethical hackers, I mean, you have to demonstrate something that to show you are ethical, right? So it's not something easy to demonstrate that you're ethical. So we started by giving trainings to our client, by assisting them in advising them on certain technology risks and all that. So that's how things get built up. I mean, surprisingly, for LGMS, we do not have any sales and marketing team.
Oh, wow.
We don't have any single sales since inception.
You don't need them, or?
I think security is, I mean, in our line of work, it's very hard to hire someone to go and say, look, we sell ethical hacking services and please engage us. So I am more a firm believer of trust. So that's why I would say 80 to 90% of our clients actually come from referrals. Mm. Some clients refer our names to even their competitors, their peers, and that's how we grow for the last 12 years.
Mm. Well, you don't need to market something that everyone kind of needs.
We would love to market something, but then it's very difficult to market.
It is. So how did you then build that trust? How long did it take you, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Definitely the term, or even whenever you mention the word hackers or, ethical hackers, clients would just go like, what hackers?
Yeah,
like,
first of all,
why
people,
are we dealing with hackers?
Exactly. Well, people will feel very defensive, very surprised, why would we want to engage hackers to come into our organizations and all that? So that's where our uniqueness comes in. We always be very direct and upfront and honest to the client. And that's something that I always emphasize until today. Mm. Because, when someone engages us as a hacker to go into the organizations, basically they are more or less opening their doors to us. So for us, I think, again, do a good job and report everything that we have found, and do a good job.
Mm. Now, what's your target market or your target industry? Like, I'm guessing these are, super sensitive kind of industry that you work with.
Yes. I can say that because LGMS today is considered the largest professional ethical hacking firm in Malaysia. So, a lot of the banks today are actually our client. Mm. Insurance companies, banks, they do have regulatory compliance to meet, and they need to engage people like us.
And when you started LGMS, was there a lot of problems when it comes to setting up a company, like in an ethical hacking firm here in Malaysia? Was there a lot of policies or regulations that that you had to go through in order to explain that,
No, I think, explain-wise is yes. A lot of awareness needs to be built.
Mm.
And especially when you talk about security, people, being Malaysian, we are more like reactive. When things didn't happen, we don't really bother about things, right? So I think one of the major challenges we have when we first started the company is how to educate, the users, the client, that they need to do a health check before disaster strikes, before the real hackers actually attack them.
Mm.
So this is one of the major challenges. Awareness, yes.
And 12 years ago, things were so different back then.
Yes.
Organizations, never had BYOD policies.
Exactly.
Mobile phone penetration was, very, very low.
Yeah.
How different was the scene back then, and what do you think has been the biggest change throughout these 12 years that you've been running LGMS?
Very different. Today, we see all sort of threats, right? And all these threats may not come from human. They come from automated software. And And then again, 12 years ago, it's not that easy to hack. I mean, basically, you need some knowledge, some skills to in programming, to write some scripts, to do your hacking work. But nowadays, if you just go onto the internet and do a search on hacking tools, there are literally hundreds of hacking tools for you to download. And you don't even need to be a computer whiz or guru to master these tools. You just point and click, and it's so simple. Mm. That also add on to the fact that, you know, a lot of these tools are free. And this is why the impact is getting greater and greater. You know, anyone, any teenagers, any old, young, male, female, can be a potential hacker that can cause damage, which they may not have any idea of what they are doing using the tools. But these are the threats, some of the biggest threats that we are seeing.
These people may have been fooled by, you know, false advertising and, you know, turning up downloading something else and, you know, become a hacker in that sense, without them knowing, probably. Yeah. What's been any case studies or, you know, any stories that you can share with us on how knowledge and awareness has actually helped in, you know, fighting a cybercrime risk?
Yes, definitely. There are so many stories we can tell. no mentioning name of names, but I can share with you one of the stories that we have had a year ago. This is one of the largest bank in the country, one of the largest bank, and they do engage us for regular testings, regular penetration testings. So as part of the regular penetration testing, we also help them to create simulation attacks in a way to test their responsiveness against attacks. So, and being one of the largest financial institutions in the country, one of the largest, and they most likely they have all these defense in-house already. They have endpoint protection systems, they have antivirus, anti-malware, anti-spam, whatever anti-thing you call it. They have it all, right? So the one of the things that we would like to test is the human response, because ultimately human is still responsible for tackling the attacks and all that, right? Regardless of what kind of technologies you have. So we come up with a simulation test where we develop a malware, and that particular malware is intent to bypass whatever defense that they have. So example, they're using X brand of antivirus, they're using Y brand of anti-malware. So we develop a malware specifically to bypass all these controls. And true enough, when we deploy the malware into the network, of course the malware is not going to erase their server or do any damage, but just a proof of concept. When we deploy the malware into the network, nobody responds to the attacks. And the malware starts spreading, you know, starts sending packets out, start connecting back to our server, back to our command and control center, and we can take control of their systems and all that, and nobody knows about it.
Wow.
And to them, it's a great lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, we depend on technology. We, you know, invested so much into technologies, but how effective are these investments?
And that's where you come in and, you know, sort of really justify their the steps that they are taking in order to protect.
That's where the awareness needs to be brought in. And from there onwards, I think they beef up the security so much, and instead of just relying on technologies, the human side, human factor is much more better than before.
You know, you mentioned early on, like, you know, 12 years ago or so, you know, it's much harder to hack into something, right? Because I think a lot of the technologies back then had a reliance of the human, a lot more human interaction, a lot more human touch, instead of, you know, everything being automated, which is what's happening today. Everything seems to be automated. Machines talk to machines instead of, you know, humans and all, right? Has this sort of made it easier for, you know, for people to hack into devices? Has technology sort of, you know, made us more vulnerable?
Yes. Let me give you one example. Let's say 10 years ago, someone asked you to bank in some money into their account. That person will probably call you or send you a text message. But today, you will probably receive an email claiming from someone who asked you to bank in money, and this email will appear to come from a legit source. So the medium, the way how we communicate is totally changed. Example, when you call someone, you expect someone will pick up the call. And if someone didn't pick up the call, you would expect someone to return the call as soon as you can. So that kind of patience that we have, that kind of the way how we interact with technology has totally changed. Same goes with security.
And with the advent of, like, you know, Internet of Things, it's coming into play. How much of a risk does this present? Because then, like, you know, everything's going to be connected from your clothes to your microwaves to your fridge to your watch, everything.
Yes, I think I'm not sure whether you noticed or not. I mean, a lot of our TVs today are actually Internet of Things. They're actually connected to the internet. And some of these TVs comes with a camera. And these cameras also connected to the internet. So that means when you're watching TV, you're quite likely being watched by someone else from the other end of the internet. Yeah. So I think, like what you say is true, Internet of Things could possess a great threat, or we call it, there's pros and cons in both ways. The way I see it from ethical hackers' perspective, it just give the ethical hackers a whole lot more, you know, targets to exploit.
I'm just trying to think of a scenario here in the future. You know, you have internet connected TV in maybe in a bank, for example.
Oh, yes.
You know, you don't have to actually go through bank systems. You know, if you could get into the TV, you could sort of see the bigger picture of, you know, what actually goes on to the bank inside the bank. You have that a lot more details that you would never get in, you know, in probably in 10 years, 12 years ago.
This is already happening.
It's already happening.
Yes, already happening. Like BYOD, like what you said is very true. I mean, BYOD can possess a very great threat to the organizations if you do not control it properly. Because anyone who is carrying a phone into an organization, the phone, presumably the phones are smartphones.
Yeah.
The phones come with a camera. The phones are connected to the internet with an IP address.
With so many doors to sort of protect at the moment, because last time it was a lot more easier, you know, less doors for them to attack. Now
less
it's
means,
so many more doors.
Exactly,
What are some advice or some of the tips that you could give to business owners who are running, you know, maybe a small firm, or an SME or an SMB here in Malaysia, and how can they stay safe in this digital world?
Like any other security topics, right, I would always emphasize on one thing, proactive, being proactive. That means you hack yourself first before the bad guys hack it for you. So do regular health check on your systems, on your network. Beef up your users' awareness, educate your employees about security, cyber threats, and of course, regular health checks. Because things are moving so fast nowadays.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, I've been speaking to C.F. Fong. He's the founder and executive director of LGMS. It's an ethical hacking firm here in Malaysia. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.